Level. The revelation that we'll be looking at is in Zechariah, and I did start you guys off a little bit earlier, and I wanted to really focus because of the song that on the day, chapter 13, verse 1, on that day a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, to cleanse them from sin and impurity. So if you notice, it's not you and me that cleanses ourselves. It's very important to realize that God is the one that's going to clean us up. And He is cleaning us up. But we don't always understand what His purpose is. Okay? So let's back this up a little bit to chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord concerning Israel. The Lord who stretched out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, and who forms the spirit of man. The word forms there indicates that it needs adjustment. It's going to be brought into a different realm or a different way of being used. Forms the spirit of man within him, declares, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be a besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. So that's the future of the city. For all nations, not some. And you can see some of that happening now, even when there's anti-Jewish hatred going around. It's coming from all directions. All who try to move it will injure themselves. Now that's pretty bad. But it really speaks clearly what's going to happen. On that day, I will strike every horse with panic and its rider with madness. I mean, you don't need to be too elaborate on understanding that anybody who goes after Jerusalem is going to pay a price, declares the Lord. I will keep a watchful eye over the house of Judah. Now he's being very specific. But I will blind all the horses of the nations. Notice again who's going to do this? God. Then the leaders of Judah will say in their hearts, the people of Jerusalem are strong. So they're what? Independent. Because the Lord Almighty is their God. Now they're advertising the Lord Almighty, which, you know, there are some Jews that are very, you know, dedicated to serving the Most High, and they're doing their best. On that day, I will make the leaders of Judah like a fire pot in a woodpile, like a flaming torch among sheaves. They will consume right and left all the surrounding peoples. Now that's telling you pretty loud and clear what he's about to do. But Jerusalem will remain intact and in her place. The Lord will save the dwellings of Judah first, so that the honor of the house of David and of Jerusalem inhabitants may not be greater than that of Judah. On that day, the Lord will shield those who live in Jerusalem so that the feeblest among them will be like David, and the house of David will be like God, like the angel of the Lord going before them on that day. Who is the angel of the Lord?
Jesus.
I will set out to destroy all the nations that attack Jerusalem. I will pour out, verse 10, on the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, meaning Jesus, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. On that day, the weeping in Jerusalem will be great, like weeping in Hadad Rimon, in the plains of Megiddo. The land will mourn, each clan by itself, or each tribe, with their wives and by themselves, the clans of the house of David and their wives, and the clans of the house of Nathan and their wives, the clan of the house of Levi and their wives, and the clan of Shimei and their wives. Notice it's the women are now lifted up.
Amen.
And all the rest of the clans and their wives. So he's not leaving any of them out. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. On that day, I will banish the names of idols, etc., etc. I will remove both the prophets, etc., which I read to you before. And a little bit further down, you'll see. Can't even make out what it is. On that day, every prophet will be ashamed of his prophetic visions because they were prophesying lies. Remember, I read that already? Now go down to verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and strike the shepherds. And the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones in the whole land, declares the Lord. Two-thirds will be struck down and perish, yet one-third will be left in it. The third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name, and I will answer them, and I will say, they are my people. And they will say, the Lord is our God. So what an intense future they have. Chapter 14, verse 1. A day of the Lord is coming when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem. I will fight against it. The city will be captured and the houses ransacked. And the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile. So I believe that this is a different prophetic message for a different season because they've already been there. I believe that that's when Rome was doing its dirty work. Okay? So you can kind of skip that over. And I want you to kind of skim down to verse 16. The survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up.
What about verse 3?
Huh? You want verse 3? Okay.
That didn't happen yet.
The Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights for the day of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. I think, but I kind of skipped that because we all have already learned this. Okay. And it's something we do believe in and we know it already. But if you go to verse 16, you get a new corner. The survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, to celebrate the feast. Do you think they're going to skip and only celebrate tabernacles?
Nope.
No. Watch. Because it speaks tabernacles. If any of the people of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, they will have no rain. What happens when there's no moisture for a year?
Everything dies.
Yeah.
When there's no more what? Sorry.
Huh?
When there's no more what?
No more rain. If the Egyptian people do not go up and take part, they will have no rain. The Lord will bring on them plagues, and he inflicts on the nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. This will be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. On that day, holy to the Lord, will be inscribed on the bells of the horses and on the cooking pots of the Lord's house, will be like the sacred bowls in front of the altar. Every pot in Jerusalem and Judah will be holy to the Lord Almighty, and all who come to sacrifice will take home of the pots and cook in them. And on that day, there will no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord Almighty. Right now, we're in a season of obedience for those that have been pressed to come. And I'm not laying the law down. That's not my job. What I am saying, however, it shows you how serious it will be in the millennium. And it's not going to be if you feel like it. It's going to be compulsory from his point of view. That doesn't mean that all of them are going to listen. Did they all listen when Israel was in full swing with King Solomon and King David? Do you think it's going to be anything different?
No.
Yeah. But there will be an anointing on those who do receive, and it's going to create incredible jealousy. However, the attempts of the negative will be dealt with by the Lord. And I thought that was pretty important to bring out, that when we celebrate the feast, be ready, yes, for some testing, and I think we've all had some. The testings are real, but the fruits that are coming between now and Pentecost are going to be awesome. And the fruits that are going to come between Pentecost and Tabernacles are even going to be greater. So look forward to what God is planning to do because of your obedience. Keep that in heart. And don't be afraid to say, okay, Father, how did you bless me this year? What have you done for me? And what do I need to do to the best of my ability to keep obeying? Because again, we're talking about a feast of obedience. We're giving here some truth so that we can see how serious he is about his feasts. And the only feast that has not been celebrated yet in the earth is Tabernacles. Passover has already been done. Pentecost has already been done. The only one that's left that's undone is Tabernacles, which is when he comes in fullness in each and every one of us. And I heard something kind of cute today that I thought would be related. I was listening to a message, and there was a comment about the rainbow. And a few weeks ago, the Lord gave me some information, which that will come, I presume, on Friday, that we will be teaching you about the seven colors of the rainbow and how they connect with the seven spirits of God. Yeah. And I thought that was pretty cool. Because I can remember at least 20 years ago, the Holy Spirit at one of the beginning of the feasts had given me that message that, yes, the seven spirits of God will be in fullness in his sons. And in his sons, there will be some that will be doing the same works as our Savior. And he is preparing for that. Now, you say, well, how come we don't have them already? Well, you have them, but they're not in full swing yet. Was Jesus not Jesus at 12 and 13? He was still Jesus, but what was he doing?
Maturing and growing.
Walking,
and
doing,
right?
Homework, what? Right?
Growing in grace.
Yes. Growing in maturity as well. Okay? By the time he's 20, we still don't see him doing anything, except by tradition we know he became a rabbi, so obviously he was studying. But he was also submissive. And so when you and I, as men and women of God, heading towards sonship, heading towards being able to be used in the earth like our Savior, I've given you hopefully some understanding that even though it's going to be awesome for those who are able and who have been given the fullness of those seven spirits, operating in them in fullness, it's also going to bring the other thing. Anybody know what that is?
Full maturity?
Well, when full maturity is in a believer, and he's going around from city to city, lifting the people out of the grave, emptying hospitals, doing all kinds of exploits in the name of Jesus, growing out arms, what do you think the community is going to say?
Crazy.
Yeah. And they're going to show up, and some who will really submit will be delivered. But what about those who are angry and jealous? What are they going to be doing?
Aspiring to put the...
Thank you. Yeah. There's going to be anger. There's going to be resentment.
Leave. Get out of here.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's going to bring division. And when it brings division, the wheat, who had division with the wheat? You did.
Yeah. Well,
two big containers of wheat.
Two bases.
When I was studying it, Lord, that was never shown before.
No, I didn't see it. I saw it, because I went back to check. I saw it. At one point, when it was under the when the chairs were up,
really
there was
a vase of wheat there
on
too.
On either end, yep.
I don't remember.
Yep.
But I got excited about the wheat because again, see the wheat and the chaff can be looking pretty much the same, mm-hmm. except the wheat gets humbled because of the heaviness of the contents, but. The chaff stays totally alive. And the Lord said he's going to send his angels and, yeah, burn the chaff.
Oh, that's where that comes from.
Ah, yeah. That's what comes out. That make you happy?
Yes.
Good. Any questions?
So we're going to be considered politically incorrect.
Oh, my God, yes.
More incorrect than we already are.
However, I do believe that there's been enough prophecy given about what's going to happen in this United States that you'll see every stadium totally unable to play a ball game.
Just a moment.
I'm serious. They're going to be full of believers rejoicing in the Lord, giving praise to the Most High God. And I did watch the Red Sox last night. And when I did... At the end, one of the guys put his two hands up towards the Lord.
Don't you love it? I love it.
And then he gave a hug to the black guy, and I said, those two are believers.
Yes,
they've just shown their true colors.
I love it. You're absolutely correct.
That's cool.
I'm glad you agree with me for a change.
Not that it makes it. I love it when you do that.
Forgive me. Any other questions? Any confirmation?
What about Mary and Deborah for another night?
No, I think that should be now, but I just wanted to make sure to close this off.
Okay.
Okay?